at Launch Education and Kids at the Microsoft Silicon Valley Conference Center, and I'm here with Dave Merrill from Siftio, and he just did a demo about his new game as well as these awesome Siftio cubes. So Dave, it's great to see you here. Can you tell us a little bit about the history of the company and how the product came to be?
Sure. Well, Siftio cubes is a hands-on game system. So tactile video games is one of the ways that I describe it. Mm-hmm. It's basically a combination of the classic play pattern that we have from classic games, like desktop or tabletop games like dominoes, board games, card games, this classic style of play that people have been doing forever, but brought together with all that's great about the interactivity of video games. Mm-hmm. So the video games are so engaging and amazing, but they so far don't really take the same shape, the same form as classic tabletop games. Yeah, they're more, you know, the gesture-based ones are great, like mm-hmm. the Wii and the Kinect, but there's really something about using your hands to manipulate real things, real objects, that's what Siftio is bringing into the video game landscape. So the company actually came out of original research at the MIT Media Lab, and my co-founder, Jamie Kalanithi, and I were graduate students there, both really interested in how we could push forward human-computer interaction, how we can interact with information and media. And we started to think about our hands and how these fingers were kind of being underutilized, even with the best interfaces of the day, like even a touch surface that has this.
You can't like grab it.
Yeah, it's different. Touch interfaces are great and they do a lot of things really well, but they're not the same thing as a real thing you can reach out and move mm-hmm. around. So we started to think about what would an interface look like that was more like a pile of Legos, or more like a set of alphabet blocks, where mm-hmm. there were just a bunch of little physical pieces, and the interaction with it was to reach out and pick them up and move them around. And we thought, you know, based on the way that people's minds and hands have evolved to interact in the physical world, that could be a really natural way to interact with digital stuff too, if we could just get the interface right to make mm-hmm. that possible.
So I saw your TED Talk, it was in 2009, with the mm-hmm. Siftable prototype. Are mm-hmm. these like the next generation? Are they about the same size? Like, how did you get like the size figured out? Was it, mm-hmm. did you test on a lot of different kids?
We did a lot of testing. Even in the very beginning when we were designing mm-hmm. the prototypes at MIT, Siftables, we played around first with non-electronic prototypes. So we made prototypes out of wood and cardboard and acrylic mm-hmm. and cut out pictures that we jammed in the middle like a sandwich. And we were just trying to figure out, number one, what size should these little handheld things be? And number two, what kind of functionality should they have? Because it was a very wide open brainstorm where we were just thinking, you know, the core idea was physical representation of digital stuff. There's got to be something amazing that we can do if that's our motivating principle. That's the animating principle. And so we played around with different sizes, we tried it with people, we mocked up different application ideas from mm-hmm. photo sorting to physical Photoshop where you can manipulate images
oh, cool.
by sticking filters in order, all kinds of stuff, and we found that it was great for play, basically. Yeah. And as we went along and built Siftio, the company, and Siftio Cubes, the game platform, mm-hmm. we had to completely redo everything because the difference between a good working prototype and a product was vast.
That's scalable, yeah.
Yeah, there was no way. The prototypes were too expensive, they weren't built for
right.
durability. So when we went to make a product, we had to do it all over, basically. Mm-hmm. And we also found out that there were all kinds of game dynamics, game mechanics that were really good on the cubes. And so we started to experiment with different kinds of games for different audiences and found out that basically this puzzle and arcade-y puzzle game is great for this kind of interface because it takes advantage of the features that these cubes have, which are they sense each other when they get next to each other, mm-hmm. they sense motion with the accelerometer, so shaking, tilting, being flipped upside down, they communicate wirelessly and have color graphics. So the kind of games that are great are ones where you're trying to figure something out and rearrange them and see what happens and rearrange them again.
Mm-hmm. So I've done research on block play, and I know mm-hmm. that we talked a little bit about it before, but I think mm-hmm. like in the future it would be really cool to talk to you more about maybe what the intervention opportunities might be for, you know, kids that are having trouble with, let's say, geometry or something. So I really like that you integrate learning with play in a way that's not, you know, overtly instructional. And I think, like, you've hit, like, the sweet spot of, like, fun and learning where it's not, like, hitting you over the head with, like, equations or formulas and things like that.
Yeah, well, I guess our secret is we're trying to make video games.
Right.
We're not making learning apps applications.
It's not like math problems, solve them.
But they're video games that do have this kind of brainy, wholesome, stretch your mind aspect to them. You know, so we're not marketing our product as a learning system.
Right.
We're marketing it as a video game system. And that's really what it is. But it turns out that just because of what these blocks are, because they're these physical objects that you can move around and they have this feel of like these classic objects that people have used for learning, that in addition to people that are buying them for games, buying them for their kids to just play, there are parents and teachers that recognize this kind of what we call intelligent play possibility, you know, this wholesome potential to kind of stretch your mind with spatial reasoning, with logic and computation, with word games, number games. They're good for that kind of
thing. Yeah, and I love that it goes beyond like your classic block play, because you can learn words and concepts and categories and things like that. I think there's just a lot of possibilities. I'm really excited to see what you guys have in the future. Do you want to talk about maybe what's in some of your more popular games and what's coming out soon?
Sure. Well, we have a game studio at Siftio, so we make some of the games ourselves. And then we also have an SDK that's out,
That
other people can download it for free and try their hand at making games too. So the games that are our personal favorites, we ship the product with a game called Chroma Lite, and that's a version of a game that's Chroma Shuffle that's been a part of our system for a really long time, and I think it's one of our most fun games. And that's one of the ones I showed on the stage. It's a little bit like a Rubik's Cube, Bejeweled mashup, where you're clearing dots by matching the same color on cubes and putting them next to each other. So, you know, that is a game that feels like kind of a mashup of an arcade game and playing with wooden blocks.
Right, right.
And so that's one of the ones that I really get into.
I love the accelerometer, like how it kind of senses and you just flip it and
yeah, you can tilt it and then move and flip it upside down and then refill. That's one of the things that's so cool about this moment in history is that the sensors and the embedded computation is getting small enough and cheap enough that we can build magical versions of everyday objects. You know, someone said these are like magic dominoes.
Yeah.
I really mean it. They're a game interface that's about that size, but they have so much interactivity packed into them. And it's unlimited, I think, what we can do
with
all the stuff that's available these days. So Chroma Shuffle, Chroma Lite, those are some of our earliest and kind of most well-loved games. The other one I showed on stage was Piano's Vault, and that is a number puzzle game that feels like an interactive version of Sudoku a little bit.
Yeah.
Math Dice is another physical game that's somewhat similar to, where you're basically trying to make a target number by putting the ingredient numbers together. You've got to use them all. So it truly is a puzzle in the sense that there's a right answer to each challenge you get posed to you. And the thing that makes it like block play, like you mentioned, is that you can just keep trying things.
Right,
and
right.
You can rearrange. If something didn't work, well, put the cube on the other side, see what happens, put it over here, or get that third one in. And you can build up solutions in pieces, little by little, and visualize, you know, when you've got two numbers together, like 2 + 3, okay, now I've got 5. Now how does 5 relate to the other number I've got? And it can help you think through a problem because you've got these abilities to make partial solutions to the puzzle.
Very cool. Okay, so I think that we have to head back into the conference. So thank you so much, Dave. It's great meeting you. And check out Siftio at siftio.com and follow them on Twitter @Siftio. Thanks so much.